I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Please be seated. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Those are the first words of the book of Jonah in our Bible. Jonah is one of the few books of the Hebrew or the Old Testament Bible that most people know about, even those poor at biblical trivia. Oh, right, Jonah, isn't he the guy that was swallowed by the whale? Usually that's the only part of the story that people remember. Few people that remember that he was called by God to deliver a message. Few people remember that he ran as far away from Nineveh as he could. Few remember that what happened when he finally did get to Nineveh, as we heard about in our first reading this morning. No, we remember the whale, the great fish swallowing him up. Now that's too bad. The point of the story of Jonah has really nothing to do with the great fish. The story of Jonah is the tale of a notable prophet being called to preach of God's love and God's hope for the world. That's it, really. Some might say even rather boring compared to aquatic life-saving missions. The prophet has a visitation from God to spread the news of to spread this good news to the great city of Nineveh. And what does this great prophet do after hearing the word from God? Well, he runs as far away and as fast as he can. No great hero of God here. He heads to Tarshish. No one will recognize him there. It's the back of beyond. It's way past the Styx, the boonies. It's so far away, it's not even on many maps. But the boat in which he is sailing is caught in a storm, and he gets thrown overboard, and then a great fish comes along and swallows him up. He's in the belly of the fish for 3 days until it brings him to dry land, only for Jonah to hear the calling from God once again, for him to go to Nineveh and preach a message of God's hope and God's love. The story is meant to be a tale to help us ponder more deeply God's relationship with us, and God's hope for us and our minds, hearts, and souls. It's a metaphor, imagery, meant to draw us deeper into the story. We don't need to send out zoological expeditions to see if there is a fish or even a whale large enough in the Mediterranean to swallow a person whole. We don't need to do scientific studies to see if a person would survive the ordeal of living in the stomach of a large fish. None of this really has anything to do with the whole point of the story, or is important to swallow if our modern-day mind finds it hard to fathom or believe. The point is not the journey from 20 leagues under the sea. It's a story about grace. God's grace upon us and all people, even reluctant prophets. The message that Jonah preached when he finally did get to Nineveh, as we heard in the reading this morning, was this: 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people believed him and fasted and put on sackcloth. We don't know the details of how the people of Nineveh were not living out God's hope for them, but many preachers have tried to guess. They can picture it to be a sin city that never sleeps and crime rules the day. And maybe it was. But I wonder if, in fact, it was much more like the world of our day, where there are many places that ignore God's grace and God's love. We don't have to go very far to find them either. The paper is filled with them. Violence, abuse, homelessness, shootings, war, famine, greed. Our lives have all been affected by them. Because then, just as now, God has a hope and a vision for us. A little later in the book of Jonah is furious with God because God did not inflict a violent punishment on the city of Nineveh. Jonah thought that God should destroy them for their actions. But just as God's grace rescued Jonah in his life journey, so God rescued the people of Nineveh. Jonah said to God, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." This is the central message of the book of Jonah. Not whales, not storms, not the sins of Nineveh, not the violence of God. It's about grace and love. But many fail to see that in the Bible and in the world of today. You see, I know of another reluctant prophet who lived not all that long ago, and he was called by God to deliver a message, but he ran too. He wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He was not smart enough. He was not strong enough, not gifted enough. He was not perfect, certainly not perfect. For he had made and continued to make many mistakes. And so who would listen to him? Who would believe that God could speak through him? He wouldn't go. He would rather be thrown into the ocean. He would rather be swallowed by a whale. He would rather go and live in Tarshish than have to deliver the message. But God was relentless, and by grace lifted up this prophet so that the world heard the message to repent, to turn around, to change their ways, and notice God's grace and love. That prophet offered these words that seem so fitting for this weekend. He said, "I say to you today, my friends, that in spite of the difficulties and the frustrations of the moment, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream." He said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal." He said, "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood." He said, "I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, the desert state, sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice." He said, "I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." He said, "I have a dream today." He said, "So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania." He said, "When we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old spiritual, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.'" The story of Jonah was the story of Martin Luther King Jr., whose day was observed in some of the United States last Monday. It's the story of a reluctant prophet called to preach the word of God to people who might not want to hear it. The word of hope and grace for all people. It is a hope not just for Nineveh or the United States, but for all of us. In a little while, we will all stretch out our hands and receive a small gift from God placed in our hand, a piece of bread, which on most days of the week is just that. But here it becomes something else, something holy, something blessed, something that calls us deeper into life, something that calls us as followers to continue to preach and live a message of hope and love. Nora Gallagher writes, "On the last night of his life, Jesus said, 'Do this to remember me.' She said, many of us think these words, these Last Supper words, mean that we're remembering Jesus when we drink his cup and eat of this bread. Well, of course we're remembering Jesus, but that shouldn't be all that we're doing. She said, I don't think Jesus was interested in everybody just remembering him. What's the point of that? She said, instead, I think Jesus wanted his disciples and everyone who came after him to remember what they had together, what they made together, what it meant to be together. Before that holy bread is placed in our hands, two young people, Aaron and Abigail, will be baptized. Baptism is about recognizing that we have a deeper calling in life, to follow the hope and will of God and joining with those other disciples of long ago and live it out. It is about affirming that there is more to this life than the daily grind, but a consciousness of the love and hope of God's grace. It's a response to this calling. A calling just like at the Sea of Galilee, a calling to be a prophet in our world, reluctant or willing, to see in our world the hope and grace of God and want to live it out, to act it out, to demonstrate it, to talk about it. This grace has lifted us, perhaps not out of the belly of a fish, but lifted us up to see a different vision of what we human beings are called to be and do. And it involves dreaming like God dreams of a world where Ninevites no longer only think of themselves, where community means caring about one another, where compassion affects how we live each and every day. This is the calling of baptism, of communion, of Martin Luther King Jr., of Simon and Andrew, of Jonah, a calling to see and know the love and grace of God and to live it. Amen.